What a beautiful psalm. Beautifully read as well. Thank you, Jill. Let's pray. Father, as we consider some of these words of this wonderful writing, we just pray that you open our hearts and minds to hear from you this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ooh, be careful, I don't speak too loudly. I can tell echoing a bit. So we're doing a new series. We started 2 weeks ago, Getting Right with God. And there should be a PowerPoint. Yeah, just coming up. There we go, getting right with God. And what I've got on this PowerPoint is the underpinning verse that we're using for this whole series, which is Mark 12, verse 30. Let me remind you of it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. That's what we want to underpin this look at how we get ourselves right with God. As I said in week one, when I did the overview, setting the scene, we're going to be spending 2 weeks looking at each of those four ways that we're told to love God. With our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. So last week was the first of the two that we're looking at, the heart. Tim mentioned last week how the biblical sense of the word heart is more than just the way we might love something here on earth. It's the essence of who we are. The essence of what drives us in life. Tim described the heart as the essential ball of me. And that's what it is. And he also gave an overview of how the Bible uses various references to our heart to help us understand ourselves, to help us understand how God wants us to live. And he also reminded us, of course, that God knows exactly what is on our hearts. Personally, I find that quite scary. As Tim said, you can never fool God about the state of your heart. And that's very much borne out by a number of verses in the Bible. Picked out one here from 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, which says, "Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." He knows exactly what's going on in there. The point of last week's look at the heart was to help us understand that loving God with all our heart, which we're told we are to do, is evidenced by what we do and what we say, just by the way that we live our lives. Now, if you weren't here last week, as I wasn't indeed, I do remember that all the morning sermons are online, can be accessed on our website. So today we're looking at part two, if you like, of the heart, and we're going to look at a few more Bible verses about the heart and how we are to use it to love God well. And in particular, I want to pick out two verses a little bit later from Psalm 51. I love that description, that title of being able to listen to it online, a psalm of repentance and transformation. That's exactly what it is. It's an interesting psalm. You no doubt may have heard of Charles Spurgeon, the renowned Baptist pastor of old. He once said that Psalm 51 should be called the sinner's guide, as it shows sinners, which is me, it's also Pete Crookle, it's also Lynn Green, and you know what, it's every one of you here. And you guys at home. He says it shows sinners how to return to God's grace. And of course, loving God in the right way is a good place to start if we want to do that. If we want to return to God's grace. Loving God with all our heart, as Mark 12:30 tells us to do, is a good place to to start. What's important to understand also is that if we're going to love God with all our heart, it is therefore we do what we can to keep our hearts pure for him. And that's what I'm titling this morning's sermon, Keeping Our Hearts Pure for God. And keeping our hearts pure for God is good for us too. Just imagine the scene. It's a sunny, warm day, and you're sat on a hillside overlooking the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus is there to teach you. He did that once, and what we then have is the Sermon on the Mount. At the start of the Sermon on the Mount, he comes out with these beatitudes, these sayings, these blessings of Jesus. And one of those, in Matthew 5, verse 8, Jesus says this: "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." So there's a benefit in us keeping our hearts pure for God. That being, it will help us to see God. But of course, if how we live depends on what we bring forth from our heart, as Tim was looking at last week, then what we bring forth from the heart will be better if we're pure in heart to begin with, if we're keeping our hearts pure for God. Just go to the next slide there, Joel. The heart is something which I've been thinking about a lot for the last 3 or 4 months, and I will be doing so for the next 6 months as well, because I'm currently doing a year-long course entitled Habits of the Heart. It's a course which all Baptist ministers, especially those in Heber, the Heart of England Baptist Association, have been encouraged to do, with a view to taking our churches through the course at a later date. So keep your eyes out for that. And the aim of this course is to explore how we look after our heart. Yes, physically, actually, that's included in it, but primarily spiritually. How do we look after our heart spiritually? To look at what goes on inside of it. How do we keep our hearts pure for God? That's the essence of what this course is about. It's about building good habits to enable us to do that well. It's a really good course, and it recognizes the importance of getting our hearts right for God. So Psalm 51, beautiful psalm, two particular verses I want to draw out this morning. If we go to the next slide, the first verse I want to look at is verse 10. "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." So David, who is the author of this psalm and many others, he cries out to God to basically have his heart wiped clean of sin, because he knew how far he had fallen. He knew his heart was stained due to his own search for selfish gains, but also the satisfying of his inner lustful desires. He was acutely aware of how impure his heart truly was. And the thing is, folks, it's very hard. In fact, it's nigh on impossible to love the Lord your God with all your heart if your heart is harboring things which are simply not pure. Things that get in the way of a good and meaningful relationship with God. And David knew that. Of course, David also knew what naughty things he'd been getting up to. It's important, like David, that there are times in our lives that we come before God and we bring to him those impure things that sometimes hide in the dark recesses of our hearts. Those things that more often or not are only known to us. Perhaps because we're just too ashamed to admit to others what's actually going on in there. I dare say some of you sat here this morning or sat at home know already there are things going on in your heart which shouldn't be. But we know, because the Bible tells us so, that if we confess our sin, God is faithful and God is just to forgive us and then purify our heart and to indeed renew a steadfast spirit within us. If that's what we really desire, if that's what we truly want. But it's about us needing to take the first step for that to happen. If we really want to be able to love the Lord your God with all your heart, then we really do need to get on our knees. We need to get on our knees and we need to ask God to make our hearts pure. Being honest about its current state. You know what's going on in your heart. You know what state it's in, and you know what you need to ask God to do. Let's go to the next verse there, Joel. The second verse, you may have recognized it. It's quite a well-known verse, verse 17. As David writes this, "My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, God, you will not despise." And we know that David was a man who really loved his Lord, despite the way he sometimes lived his life, which of course we can read about in detail in the Old Testament. And he would have been throughout his life made all sorts of sacrificial offerings to God. But he had come to learn something quite important about God. David knew that the blood of bulls, the blood of goats, was not the thing that really pleased God. It was not the sacrifice that God truly wanted. He knew that it was a broken heart before God, which is what he wanted. A heart that is contrite and truly repentant. That's what God really wants from all of us. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, you, God, will not despise. It's an odd word, contrite, isn't it? We don't use it a great deal these days. So what does it mean to be contrite? What does it mean to show contrition? In a dictionary, you will find something like this as the meaning to the word contrite. To feel or express remorse at the recognition that one has done wrong. That's what it means to be contrite. And that's what God wants from us. And to be serious about truly feeling remorse for what we know in our hearts is wrong. And our hearts often tell us when something's wrong, don't they? We say that we feel it there. You know, in my heart of hearts, it did not feel right, is a phrase that we might use. And God will know if we are truly serious about any remorse that we express. Last week, Tim mentioned, I'm not even sure I want to say this phrase, but I'm going to. Tim mentioned Boris Johnson in his sermon. And you know, he got the same reaction last week. I can pick that up on the microphone. I'm going to do the same this week. Because last Wednesday at Prime Minister's Questions, you may have noticed in his answer to one of the questions that Keir Starmer asked him, he used the word contrition about what's been going on in number 10 Downing Street. Did he mean it? Who knows? He knows, but God knows also. God knows everything. God will know if what we say we truly mean. we need to mean it. We need to truly have that contrite heart that David writes about here in this psalm. And what we know, and what David tells us, is that God will accept that sacrifice, because that's what he wants of us. He certainly won't despise it. So within these words of this incredibly beautiful Psalm 51, and I will be going back and searching out on YouTube what Jill has recommended, we have two phrases that David uses about the heart that we need to take to heart, if you like. The first one is a prayer to God for help with change. Create in me a pure heart, O God. And the second one is an acknowledgement of the kind of sacrifice that God wants from us. A broken and contrite heart, you, God, will not despise. It's about wanting to get our hearts right for God, to be pure of heart, so that we are better able to love God with all our heart, as he wants us to do. But we do need to take that step. We need to intentionally choose to ask God to help us to get our hearts right with him. To ask God, as Psalm 139 says, to search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 139, verses 23, 24. It's about choosing to honestly open our hearts to him, knowing that it won't always be easy, because we know what is in those dark areas. But understanding that he knows that anyway. He knows what's in those dark areas. He's able to shine a light into any part of our heart. And then allowing him to change our hearts for the better, to create a pure heart within us. And that will really help us to get right with God. I suppose the question for me, for you, for all of us, is, are we willing, really willing, to come before God and to be honest about what can be in our hearts sometimes? It's worth doing. Apart from anything else, it will help us to love him more, to love him with all of our heart, with all of our pure heart. I stand here and I know where those dark areas are. I know what's going on in there. And I expect some of you do, and some of you at home too. So what I want to do now is just to give us the opportunity to, in the silence of this building, in the silence of our room at home, to begin to open our hearts fully to God, for him to bring to our minds those things that we really need to work on, so that our hearts can be created pure, so that our hearts will be contrite. So let's come before God now in a moment of silent prayer, which I'll then close. Father, in the silence, I do pray that you shine your light into our hearts. Show us those things that are not pure. Show us those things that we need to change. Father, for each of us, there will be things that we already knew were wrong in our hearts. Things that just didn't feel right in our hearts. Oh, we ask that you cleanse us, cleanse our hearts. They can become pure. And Lord, as I think about the life of David, Lord, some of us will never do some of the wrongs that he did. And yet here was a man who knew how wrong he had got things. But he was willing to come before you and pray for that clean and pure heart. And we know how you used him. So Lord, there is hope for every single one of us. If we're prepared to take that step, to intentionally come before you and say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Father, I pray that this isn't a moment for 2 minutes, 3 minutes on a Sunday morning. But this coming week, we will truly fall to our knees and ask for your help in making our hearts pure before you. Help us, Lord, to be able to love you with all of our heart, knowing that every part of it is good. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to sing again.